talking to somebody through Zoom or through email or the phone is one thing, but meeting them in person and seeing a physical project that they have going on, the likelihood of me investing them and the comfort I have investing with them probably increases quite a bit.
Welcome to Surgeon Syndicate. If you're paying attention, you know that you only make money when you work. It might be great money, but it's dependent on you. The information on this podcast will help you solve that. We interview experts and provide analysis into financial freedom through commercial real estate. Why? To help physicians like you thrive. Let's dive in.
Welcome back to Surgeon Syndicate. This is your host, Dr. Michael McManus, and we are here today for the second half of our conversation with Andy Crawford. Andy, welcome back.
Hey, thanks, Mike. Really appreciate it.
If by chance you fell into this in the midpoint of this conversation, I'd encourage you to go back and listen to the first half. Andy had a lot of great gems. Andy comes from the pharmaceutical industry and then moved into real estate and helping medical professionals find other ways to invest their money. We finished off our last conversation. We were talking about bringing investors into other deals and raising capital. It's interesting. This morning, I saw on Facebook, and we met at this Invest Beyond Multifamily conference put on by Ash Patel. And Ash posted on LinkedIn something about that you always see people talking about other people's money as if it's this obscure thing and the responsibility. So this is what I want to throw to Andy, who does some capital raising. What kind of responsibility do you feel towards now that you're taking other people's money and putting it at risk?
Huge responsibility. I mean, and I saw that post. It really hit hard for me because as a capital raiser, you're asking somebody to take their hard-earned money, maybe those that are already in retirement looking to exponentially grow their retirement, and you have a fiduciary responsibility to make sure that you make right by these investors and the investment that you bring to them. So I saw a couple comments on there that really were so true, which is, I can't sleep at night till I give my investors their capital back and so on and so forth. But it is somebody nonchalantly saying, you know, OPM, other people's money, and touting that around, to me, is just a bad taste. And it really gives syndicators and syndications kind of somewhat of a bad name. The goal in bringing these investment vehicles to any professionals or those that want to invest is really, how can you help them get to their goal of growing their wealth? And you can't take that lightly when you're handling somebody's hard-earned capital.
Yeah, I like to look at it. And it's funny when you talk to how many people, when they started out getting money from friends and family, it's a great place to start because that's pretty serious. If grandma gives you some of her retirement or your parents or your best friend or your best friend's parents, that's not money you want to lose. And if you look at all your investors that way, like this is a person who got up in the morning and went to work and made this money. It's a lot of responsibility. The first person I placed in somebody else's deal was my sister-in-law. And she contacted me because she heard about what I was doing. And I was like, oh man, this is stressful. But yeah. I introduced her to a friend and colleague who's a retail center operator and is of the highest moral character. And I feel good about that, that it's someplace that things can always go wrong, but this deal is unlikely to go wrong. And it's a person of high moral character. When people are starting to dabble, because I was thinking about this when we were talking before about the concerns that physicians and pharmacists have, how often do you have people coming in? I only ask this question because it's what I did. Like, how much am I willing to lose right now to test this out? What kind of numbers? Because a lot of syndications are looking for $100,000 minimum. And for anybody listening who's not familiar with this space, the real reason is the more investors you have, the more expense you have to communicate with those investors, to produce K-1s, to send out checks. And so that's why people typically have a minimum investment and they're not out looking for $10,000. That's kind of like where REITs come in because they're set up to bring in smaller amounts. But when somebody wants to make their first syndication leap, what kind of numbers do you have them asking? Like, well, can I do this amount?
Great question. And you're spot on. And I can speak very candidly to that. Yeah, there is expense and there's time and work involved in the amount of investors you bring into any syndication. We typically have a $100,000 minimum in our deals. Early on, we started off at 50. And one thing I learned very quickly is those that might not have enough capital to invest are those that ask the most questions and aren't the best partners. I feel a lot more comfortable having somebody invest with us that is a working professional, maybe a high earner. And $100,000 obviously to them matters, but we want to make sure that it aligns with their goals. Some people's goals and financial positions don't align with us. And you know, that's okay. And if they can find alternative investment opportunities that might meet their need of $50,000 or under, then as you mentioned, like a REIT or some other investments might work best for them. But we're very clear and we try to make sure that our investors know, especially when we start a syndication, that this is our minimum and this is kind of why. And we've had several ask. We get this question quite a lot, especially in the pharmacy professional space. Hey, Bob, my friend who runs XYZ, he'd like to come in, but he can only throw in $25,000 or $20,000. And a lot of times we have to decline because we want to make sure that it meets our need as a sponsor and doing what's best for the deal. And if we're spending maybe a lot of time, that pulls us away from asset management to talk with investors that maybe it wasn't a good fit originally, that's not a good for anybody at the deal.
Yeah, that learning process. And I think once people understand it more, when I first started with syndications, and I'll admit this, I was the guy looking for the lowest amount I could put in because I knew I'd taken a course, I'd listened to podcasts. I'm like, until I do this, it's not really sinking in. And so I was looking for what looked like the best deal I could find for $25,000 or less. It was like my tuition. I'm like, okay, if I lose this, it's going to hurt, but I can stand that. And that's when I went out to some of the platforms like CrowdStreet and Equity Multiple, and I invested there because they had lower minimums. And I figured that if they let them on the platform, they had done some sort of due diligence. I don't disagree with that pathway. At this point, though, now that I've met enough people that I know operators and I know the people, I'd prefer to invest in people that I know more directly. Yeah, I started my education at the Carta School of Mines, and that was the whole thing with the exploratory miners. You're not investing in a project. Every project in that space, it's like a tech startup that most of them aren't going to go anywhere, but you're investing in people who have a chance of making that project go. And I think real estate's a lot of the same way there. So if somebody came in and they said, okay, I'm not ready to give you $100,000. I don't know you well enough. How can I get to know you so that I feel comfortable giving you my $100,000?
Yeah. And that question come up, and those investor types do come to us. And I think a lot of it has to go to educating them maybe on our business plan, maybe our ethics as an organization, what our plans are for future growth. And as well, what's our history, right? What have we done? What deals have we done in the area? Why should they trust us with their capital? Why Cincinnati? And a lot of times, Mike, what we'll do, and I think I mentioned this earlier on, is let's bring them some of the historical, some of the returns that we've achieved for investors on previous syndications that we've done, and make sure that they understand that, hey, if this isn't a good fit for you, then no harm, no foul. We want to make sure that it's a win for everybody and it meets their goals. So very candidly, I will bring up previous investment decks. Sometimes I'll walk them through the deck and say, hey, this is a deal that we bought in 2022, and this was what we expected to achieve as far as our performance. This is what we did achieve. I think a lot of times that helps build trust because then they can understand, hey, Andy and his group, they know what they're doing. They are operators in Cincinnati. They have a company that manages the property, which is who's going to implement your business plan in commercial multifamily, right? It's management intensive, a lot more management intensive than a lot of times non-residential commercial properties, as we talked about before, through the lifespan of the hold of the property. And just explaining them, this is what makes us different. Why we feel like we're a great partner is because we have a management company in-house that can control this asset. It can implement our business plan all the way through the hold period. And we're going to have a lot more success doing that than farming it out to a third-party manager.
Do you do any investor events, get-togethers, meetups where they can come and meet people in person and talk? And
what I've been doing lately, Mike, is back to kind of like those one-on-ones. I've been bringing investors, even potential investors, to our on-site, to our properties, and I'll let them walk through a property. Just some time ago, a few months back, we finished up a redevelopment project that we took on. It was our biggest project to date. completely redeveloped a 24 unit property here in Cincinnati. And I was bringing potential and current investors through that property because I wanted them to see that we had the capacity and know-it-all to take on a heavy lift as far as redevelopment goes. And that really paid dividends because the potential investors, obviously they got FaceTime, they got to see an actual project, walk through buildings that were going through a heavy renovation. And I don't know about you, but talking to somebody through Zoom or through email or the phone is one thing, but meeting them in person and seeing a physical project that they have going on, the likelihood of me investing them and the comfort I have investing with them probably increases quite a bit if I can do that.
You know, I just had this thought that probably one of the biggest things keeping people from syndications, professionals, is at some point they got roped into a timeshare sales.
All right.
You go to Mexico and there's some dude on the beach, come for a free breakfast.
Yeah.
You're like, okay, sure. Next thing you know, it's like 5 hours later and there's some dude sweating you in an office. And you're expecting the same thing from real estate syndicators. I get flyers in the mail, come to our dinner. And I was like, I'm not going to that because you're expecting this hard pitch.
Right.
Where the funny thing is, somebody told me once, they're like, we're interviewing investors too. And some of these interactions are to help us as a syndicator. We don't want your money. We don't think it's a good fit. And it may just be personality. It may be that they know you're not ready. But if you go to an investor event and you feel like you're getting a hard sell from a syndicator, to me, that's probably a no right there.
Right.
If you feel more like it's like, this is what we got. Now, tell me about you and let me know if I want your money. What are your goals? What are you looking to achieve? If somebody says, this is my retirement, I'm all set. I just needed to keep up with inflation and spit off 5%. Well, that's somebody who should probably be investing in somebody who does Starbucks single tenant, triple net leases. That is some pretty safe and sound 5%, and it's going to grow with inflation. But if somebody says, no, I want to double my money every 3 years, that's a totally different investment. And that's part of the process that the syndicators are looking at, the operators are looking at. Are we on the same page as far as what you want? Mm-hmm. If the guy who wants to see his money double and you're getting 15% comes back and goes, well, I only got 15%. You're like, that's kind of what we were offering.
Yeah, right. I think that's a huge point. You have to be very clear with people that this is our projection for this investment. And one of the things that I've done many, many times before accepting any investor capital is making sure I go over the return summary. Like, this is what our projected returns are. Do you have any questions about it? And a lot of times I'll break it down as you're investing $100,000. Just so you know, in year 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, if the whole period's 5 years or if it's 7, right, if it might vary, this is what you can expect from us. This is our projected return. And I think a lot of times it's all this kind of like that. I go back to the days of leasing the single families is making every tenant initial every page on the lease, right? So they understand that no pets allowed. You're responsible for cutting the grass. X, Y, Z, and just having those kind of like safeguards in to ensure that it meets the goal and they understand that this is what we're offering them and it has to be a win-win.
How often do you have people coming in that they haven't really done that? What are my financial goals? How risk tolerant am I? How do I want to see my financial path move forward? That people haven't even thought about that. Like, you went through all these years of school, now you're making money, I need to invest it. You've been putting it in your 401k and you're not happy with those returns, but you don't even really know how to think about it. We'll get back to our show in a minute, but first I want to offer you an opportunity to accelerate your learning. My life changed and my ability to start becoming work optional changed when I gained the people and the knowledge to start investing in commercial real estate. One of the key people there was Ash Patel and joining his Invest Beyond Multifamily Mastermind. With that, I had the people and the knowledge. Well, that mastermind is no longer open, but for a fraction of the price, Ash has now made a course. And this is probably the most valuable set of information, the quickest way to move along your learning curve. So if you are interested in actively investing in commercial real estate and retail and industrial and office, I would recommend this course to you. We're going to include a pre-sale link both in the show notes. It'll also be on the surgeonsyndicate.com website. And in your checkout, we'll save you another 1%. I know it's not a lot, but every little bit helps if you use the discount code MIKE1487. So take that step now and move your future forward. If you're not interested in investing actively, give us a call here at Fortress Capital and let's talk about what your goals are as a passive investor. But it's time to stop listening, start acting, and let's move your future forward.
There's a demographic out there. I think a lot of the, and I'll just speak from experience, I'm 42 years old, a lot of the pharmacy professionals out there that have grinded it out, went to pharmacy school, got hired on either with a major chain, went into a practice with maybe a closed door pharmacy, their sole focus outside of college is paying off student debt, right? Probably a lot like a physician. And not a lot of it is, do I have liquid capital to invest or should I even think about investing, right? In the 25 to 30 year range or 25 to 35 year old range. So what we find a lot is we're not really getting a lot of these younger pharmacy professionals, but those that fall into that 40 to 60 range that have established themselves, some of them in the 40 to 50 year range, you're right. They really haven't thought through anything outside of it. Back to why I think it's a target for investment that people really need more education on is they know their 401k, right? They know the IRA. They know what they can invest in it. Maybe they have an employer badge and they might not know their goal. But when they get into their 40s, they can say, hey, I'm looking at my balance on my 401k. I'm looking at what my returns were for 2023 and 2022. And maybe a light bulb goes off and they say, I don't have enough money to retire. I don't know that I can retire by 60 or 65. How do I get closer to that? And so we get a lot of people that come in and that say, real estate intrigues me. I don't know about it. Tell me why it's a fit for me. Some people say, why would it fit my investment goals? And you kind of do have to walk through the process. Like, have you thought about an investment outside of the traditional opportunities out there? So we do see that sometimes those aren't the best investors for obvious reasons. Sometimes they don't know what they want, but a lot of times we see the medical professionals that are getting late 40s, early 50s be the ones that are really good partners and we can meet a lot of their goals.
You know, I just had a thought because people have told me this before. It goes back to the old investment club idea. And if you got 10 friends, or let's say 5 friends, will make it easier. And you want to start investing in some of these things, but you have that fear of how much money. If you got 5 people, you put 20 grand a piece in, you form an LLC. That LLC is now an investment vehicle. The LLC invests in a syndication. They can put $100,000 in. They jump in with everybody else. And now you found a way to decrease that risk. And you've got 5 people that you can learn together with and bounce ideas off as far as where you want to go. If people came to you and they're like, I don't know, I just don't know about this. Do you have any resources you recommend to them as a great place to go learn and just open up their horizons for what might be possible?
Well, I'll turn back to showing them some historical deals that we've done and walking them through them. But outside of an internal resource like that, I'm a huge podcast person. You know, there's always time to listen to a podcast or driving. Maybe your kids to school, you're driving to work, you're driving home for work. It's just start listening to real estate podcasts to understand basic terminology, right? To understand what fits my investment need, whether it be the Best Ever podcast, your podcast, Mike, Bigger Pockets, and just turning them on to investment knowledge so they can understand how they can integrate that into their retirement goals. Or maybe just growing passive income, right? If they're a younger person, not closer to retirement. So that's what I would suggest is just really kind of consuming podcasts. Because in today's age, there are hundreds of podcasts out there that are oriented around many different types of real estate, multifamily, single family, basic real estate knowledge, and like yourself, Mike, the commercial non-residential space.
That's a great suggestion. One of the ones that I found out, it was once I was further and I never would have thought about it as a beginner, is some of the conferences, the where we met, or even the Best Ever Conference, the Multifamily Investor Nation, or some of the big multifamily ones. And it's a few days. Yeah, I think the registration's $1,500, but they're usually in some place you can go have some fun too. Yeah. But the number of conversations you can have in a day, I mean, it's like medical school, like pharmacy school. Like the drinking through the fire hose, that I was down the road quite a ways the first time I ever went to a big conference. And then you're going out to dinner with people and you're still talking real estate. And after 3 days, man, I was exhausted. And you hear all these different stories and it makes it real. So if you really wanted to jump in with both feet, find one of those big conferences. And it doesn't even really matter which one. I mean, there's a big retail conference in Vegas. You could just look for real estate conferences and go find one somewhere you want to go. And then just go talk to people. And it's funny because if you walk up, a lot of people are like, I don't know enough to be there. I've talked to people at conferences. They're like, I'm a beginner here. I don't know anything. I feel like I shouldn't talk to any people. Usually you'll get respect for that because they're like, wow, good on you for being here. And you can just be like, I'm just here to check it out. Tell me why I should do this. You'll get a year's worth of information in 2 or 3 days. So
the cool thing about that too, Mike, is like the beginner can go into these conferences and you could be talking to somebody that could have hundreds of millions of dollars of assets under management. And the great thing about the real estate community that I appreciated is there was a lot of humble people in this industry. And as a beginner, you could be talking to somebody that has decades of experience, hundreds of millions of dollars in a portfolio, and they're standing right next to you, maybe the Starbucks in the lobby, and you strike up a conversation. And that's the glory of this business, is there's the ability to talk to what I guess you would compare to a W-2 job, the C-suite executives. And a lot of times, your level as far as access and truly, truly most eye-opening things about this real estate industry that I've learned over the past several years is some of the largest operators out there are still some of the most humble.
It's true. I met a guy at the Best Ever last year who he owns hundreds of single tenant restaurants. So Applebee's, Chili's, Taco Bell, I don't know exactly which ones, but he's the landlord. But he never really did multifamily. And he was like, I don't know, everybody keeps talking to me about multifamily. And so I'm here to find out, learn what they're talking about. And so he was there as kind of a very sophisticated beginner, but I had no idea when I first started talking to him. He was talking to me like I was the expert because I owned a little bit of multifamily. And to find out later who you are talking to, it is incredible. You never know. And you may offer some pearl of wisdom that they want to know about. Okay, you're a pharmacist or you're a doctor. Where do you work? What are their real estate spaces like? And even if you're not on the real estate side, you can help them understand what makes a clinic space a good clinic space. So there's value added on both sides there.
Absolutely. Yeah, the networking piece of this industry, it pays so many dividends. It's taken me some time to realize that that's an area that I needed to continue to improve upon. But just the many takeaways and relationships that you meet from these conferences are so crucial. And that goes for the beginning and a sophisticated investor.
All right. We're about out of time here. So for anybody listening who's, because we've talked a lot about people who may be just venturing into this space, what would you suggest as one or two action items to be like, don't just listen, go do something to move their journey along if they haven't invested yet and they're going, is it time to invest?
I would say for those that are completely new, that haven't even looked at investment, maybe investment decks or syndication opportunities, is get familiar with a pro forma, right? How to read it, how to challenge it with a sponsor, because you as an investor, you need to make sure that you can obviously vet them and trust them. So you really need to challenge and understand the intricacies of that return that they're projecting on investments. So that would be my number one thing, is even if you're not ready to invest, educate yourself to understand what an investment entails and what is important to know to ask, questions to ask. My second would be, is at some point in time, you've got to jump off that diving board and you've got to take action. So there's a lot of analysis paralysis from new beginners. And the one thing I would suggest for you that are listening, folks that are just having that analysis paralysis, is just, you've got to take a risk, right? You've got to take that first step and making sure that you focus, that you won't get further in your investment goals if you don't do that. So that would be my advice.
That's awesome. And for your first one, and I love to talk about this because all the people out there who are doing investor relations, who are doing capital raising, that's really what they're there for, is to answer your questions. And so if you feel like you're not comfortable having that conversation, just go online and find a bunch of syndicators and call them and talk to them. And that's what they're there for. And eventually you'll find somebody who you feel is a good fit, but you're going to learn a ton through the process of just having that conversation.
Absolutely. Feel free for anybody to reach out. I'd love to talk about any questions anybody might have.
And with that, how do people get a hold of you? What's the best way to reach out and learn about what you're doing?
I'm pretty active on LinkedIn, so that would be the best spot to get a hold of me, on LinkedIn. So I'm not too active on Facebook or Instagram, so LinkedIn.
All right. And we will have your stuff in the show notes for anybody who wants to reach out to Andy. Andy, thank you for being here. You've been a great guest. I hope this has been valuable to the people listening. Please join us again and please leave us a review. Again, that's how people find us. If you found this valuable, help somebody else find it too. So thanks for being here and joining us again on Surgeon Syndicate. We'll get back to our show in a minute, but first I want to offer you an opportunity to accelerate your learning. My life changed and my ability to start becoming work optional changed when I gained the people and the knowledge to start investing in commercial real estate. One of the key people there was Ash Patel, and joining his Invest Beyond Multifamily Mastermind. With that, I had the people and the knowledge. Well, that mastermind is no longer open, but for a fraction of the price, Ash has now made a course. And this is probably the most valuable set of information and quickest way to move along your learning curve. So if you are interested in actively investing in commercial real estate and retail and industrial and office, I would recommend this course to you. We're going to include a pre-sale link both in the show notes. It'll also be on the surgeonsyndicate.com website. And in your checkout, we'll save you another 1%. I know it's not a lot, but every little bit helps if you use the discount code MIKE1487. So take that step now and move your future forward. If you're not interested in investing actively, give us a call here at Fortress Capital. And let's talk about what your goals are as a passive investor. But it's time to stop listening, start acting, and let's move your future forward. This has been an episode of Surgeon Syndicate. If you found value in this episode, know other surgeons are hungry to become job optional. You can help them by sharing this content today. I also want to serve you better, so I want to offer you two things. Number one, I'll be able to give you the content in an even better way if you can take a moment and leave an honest review of the show explaining what you like and what you don't. Number two, if you are a surgeon and serious about this, you don't want to do this on your own because you don't want to make mistakes with your money. I'd be happy to help. Schedule a call and we can make a plan. I'm looking forward to having you with me on the next episode.